Why don't we just open with a word of prayer? Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your greatness, Lord, and just the way you bless, the way you provide, the way you take care of us. And Lord, just help us to always be grateful, Lord, for the way you bless us and provide. So we just pray now that you'll open our hearts, Lord, for the message. Lord, as we take a look at into the book of Romans, and Lord, just to try to learn, Lord, just to get to know you better. And Lord, to understand the way you work, and Lord, just the things we don't understand, Lord, help us accept it by faith. And Lord, just know that you're always in control. Your ways are always right. Lord, your ways are perfect. And Father, and help us to be accepting of that. And Lord, just to be able to accept the things we don't understand. We don't have to understand. We just, by faith, know that you do. So we pray you'll open our hearts, Lord, for the message this morning and help us, Lord, just to grow from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I think you got to see Adrian Rogers last Sunday, right? Okay. I think that I love these guys that can tell it, you know, and, you know, can preach like that. And I hope you enjoyed it. I sure. In fact, Nancy and I, we watched it too. Because we knew you were watching it, we watched it. That was our way of kind of being a part of the Sunday school class last Sunday. And then, of course, Michael taught the Sunday before. And, folks, we can use other people's testimonies to share with others, you know, hey, I know this guy, this has happened to him. And as we go through life, folks, we just need to be dropping little seeds along the way, you know. I don't have time to get into any kind of a gospel presentation or anything else to these doctors and stuff, but at least I hope some of them will stop and think, you know. I've always believed in evolution, but, you know, I have seen this human body. I know how it works. I know, maybe there's something I need to be thinking about a little bit more down those lines. Who knows? It's in God's hands. He can do with that, with those little tidbits, he can do whatever he wants to with it. He is sovereign. He can use it any way he pleases. Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. You know, I've heard it say a lot of times too, you know, a lot of times we get mad at God, you know, so a spouse dies or something like that. We get mad at God because he took our spouse. Rather than that, we'd ought to be thanking him for the many years, the good years we did have that he gave us, and not be mad at him for taking him away. Be grateful for what we did have. So, well, let's go ahead and read. Let's go ahead and read Romans 8, 28 through 30. We've read these before, but just to bring us back up to speed as to what we're going to be talking about here. So who'd read those verses for us this morning? Okay. Okay, thank you, Mike. Okay, and here's basically where God's plan intersects with our lives today. In all eternity past, he's predetermined to have a love relationship with Christians and therefore predestined our salvation. The effectual calling is a time when God moves into our life. We've been in eternity past, and now we're here and now, as far as salvation is concerned. It's transactions taking place in the past, but now we're getting up to where we're living today. Believers are the called. There are two definitions of the word called. And again, we've been talking about this as we go through here. Two definitions of the word called, because I'm just going to look at my... I read my notes, but I don't have any idea what I read last night. So my mind is scrambled, folks. There's two definitions of the word called. And there's a one verse that always stumbled me, and we've covered that about two or three times in this class just recently. But it talks about the verse that says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." And I always thought the word called meant, you know, they're the chosen ones, you know, if you might say it that way. And again, I'm not eliminating the fact that man has a choice. And we're going to be covering that all the way through here. But the book of Romans up to this point is nothing but Calvinism, if you want to say it that way. I mean, that's what it teaches. Before the earth was formed, God chose who is to be. And it says, well, it finally, and we do eventually get to the point where it does say in Romans that man has a choice. But a lot of times you got to go to the other books of the Bible to talk about the fact that man has a choice. Romans starts off being very Calvinistic, but then it changes courses. I don't believe in Calvinism. We don't believe in this church. We don't believe in Calvinism. So anyway, there is an outward call, which is a call to salvation. And only when you get to the epistles, and all of the epistles, when you see the word called, that is the same thing as being chosen by God. But being called in other verses, other books of the Bible, the word called doesn't necessarily mean that you're saved, you're called. And let me explain that here. There is an outward call, which is a call to salvation. By a message on salvation, pastor gets up, he preaches on salvation. Everybody that's listening to him, that is a call to salvation. Okay? A message, an invitation to come. All right? Or you could be called by reading the Word of God. Some people get saved by reading the Word of God. Many hear a message on salvation, but many do not respond. I was one of them for years, okay? Many are called, but few are chosen. And then there is an inward call, which is the call that leads to actual salvation. That's when God, the Holy Spirit, moves in and calls and leads us to salvation. Two different types of the word or versions of the name called. The call in verse 30. In fact, it says right here, "Moreover, them whom he did predestinate, them he also called." There's that word, okay? That is not an outward call. That is an inward call. And we know it must be a saving call because whom he called, them he also justified. Okay, so this word, this called here, has got to be God's moving in a heart to bring people to salvation. Because whom he called, he justified. Unsaved people are not justified, folks. They're not, okay? So you know it's talking about people that are called to salvation. It's not just an invitation to anybody and everybody. Like when pastor preaches, I mean, he's calling people to come to salvation. The Holy Spirit's working, he's moving. He worked and moved in my heart for a long time, you know? He was calling, but I didn't respond. But that was a call to come to Christ. Come to Christ. It's not just an invitation to anybody and everybody. This is a direct call from God to salvation, is what this is talking about in verse 30. Now you might say, I don't understand that. What about all the Bible verses that talk about the need to evangelize and that man has a choice? Does God call some people salvation and not others? Okay, I think you got the answer to that last Sunday. On the wall up there, you know. No, whenever the gospel is preached, God is calling people salvation. A lot of people, and I'm going to give you a couple examples here. If I can get this page turned. Let's go ahead and, here's a question. Can we resist the call? You know, the outward call. Can we resist? I think the answer to that question is obvious, but let's just use some scripture to back that up. Turn to Matthew 23:37. You've seen this I've referred to this many times. I think we've read it a time or two. Matthew 23:37. Okay, who'd read that for us this morning? John?
O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her children under her wings, and ye would not.
Pretty clear, isn't it? Okay. And see, Jesus is wanting these people saved. God wants everybody saved. The Bible says that. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know? And yet many don't. Okay? Now, is that God's fault or is that man's fault? Okay, man, as a verse, man has a choice. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 1. We'll have one from the New Testament and one from the Old here. Proverbs 1, and we'll be reading verses 22 through 25. And who'd read that for us? Royce, I see that hand. Okay. It's God pleading. Come, come. And yet you refuse. Folks, we can refuse the call. The call to salvation. So we do have a choice. It is clear we have a choice. So, and again, for those, I guess for there's some here that haven't been here before, I will say I believe the Bible clearly teaches both. The Bible clearly teaches that God has chosen before the foundation of the world who's and he has chosen, you know, the Christians. And yet at the same time, the Bible is full of verses that talk about the fact that man has a choice, man can refuse. And so, and the battle's going on, and a lot of people take a strong stance. Well, I'm Calvinism, says this over here, it's a done deal, God did it, and somebody that had not been called, they are not the elect, they have no chance of ever being saved. That is not Bible. So anyway, you guys have all heard that many, many, many times. So okay, when a person falls into hell, a brokenhearted God will say, "Not my will, but thine be done." They refuse the call. God said, "I've called, I've called, I've called, and yet you refuse." And I remember again, back when I was unsaved, and I'm sitting in the gospel preaching every Sunday morning, well, three times a week, and gospel preaching, and God was calling. I mean, my heart was being pulled, and yet the devil, he was fighting in back, and you don't straddle a fence, okay? It's either you accept or you refuse, and I'd walk out of that church unsaved. I'd refuse a call. So we can refuse it. I'm thankful that God, I'm thankful on March the 9th, 1975, at about 8:30 at night, I gave my life to Christ. I came to Christ and asked him to become my Lord and Savior. And folks, I hope each and every one of you in here have done that. If you haven't, and I understand, okay, because I did it. There might be some people in here that are fighting that same battle that I fought. And it's the only battle you're ever going to win by surrender. And consider the alternative. heaven or hell. Folks, the stakes are high. The stakes are high. Come to Christ if you haven't yet. And if you say, I'm not ready yet, I can't do that, the reason I'm bringing this up is I did it, okay? Say, I'm not ready yet. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help. Lord, I need to be saved. I don't want to burn in hell for eternity. Lord, help me. If I can't do it now, if I keep putting it off, folks, don't keep putting it off. Ask God to help you say yes. Ask Him to help you say yes. Okay. You say, well, then you mean all those people who go to hell because God didn't choose them? No. If they go to hell, the Bible says it's because they rejected the gospel. They rejected the gospel. And again, we've talked about this in the past. If there's somebody living in a remote village in the deepest jungles of Africa and have never heard, and if they want to believe, God is going to find a way for that person, okay, to come to Christ. And again, and we back in, I'm off my notes here. I shouldn't, with my when my mind is like this, I shouldn't get off my notes. But again, God says He's revealed His eternal power and Godhead through the creation. And just like I was talking to these doctors and nurses and stuff about the human body and the intricacy and the divine intelligent design. The intelligent designer is Jesus Christ. I guess there's people out there believing in intelligent design, but it's like some kind of a force, you know, or something. The force did it. Well, no, His name is Jesus Christ, the one that did it. But we can see God's handiwork, and He's revealed His eternal power and Godhead through creation. So first of all, those people out in Africa, in this jungle, they can see God's creation. And God says, They're without excuse. God will find a way to reach the people that have never heard the gospel, that they will hear the gospel, and then that they will have a chance to respond. I believe that. I heard a powerful testimony by a missionary that exact thing happened. And anyway, I mentioned that. Move on, Jim. You say, well, you mean all those people go to hell because God didn't choose them? No, it's because they rejected the gospel. Now you say, now wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. Right. Exactly. It doesn't make sense to us, okay? But it does make sense to God. And that's what's important. Isn't it wonderful to know that God is smarter than we are? But you want a God who is equal to us? I don't. And just in case you think there's a problem that's isolated, there's a lot of problems like this, okay? Now, I'm coming back, Royce, where you stole my thunder about 2 or 3 or 4 weeks ago, okay? He was saying this, and I said, man, you're ahead of me, Roy. Okay, you might ask this simple question. Who wrote the book of Romans? Is the answer Paul or God? Is Jesus God or man? The answer is yes. If I ask you who lives out your Christian life, you say I do. And yet Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. It's all of you and all of Him. And that's the way it is. When we try to bring God down to our level, there's a lot left over. And if we try to resolve it in our minds, it'll burst our brain. We can't figure all this stuff out, folks. We accept it by faith. People have been going over this thing for years and years and years, the battle about choice versus election. And the longer the debate, the more the fact that knowledge does not increase. We still don't understand it as much as we didn't understand it the first time we heard it. It's not going to change. We just believe it, and we should be happy to believe what we don't understand. Folks, just things, God, that's your business. It's not mine. I can't figure it out. I'm not going to try. I'm going to just accept what you say by faith. I believe it. Turn to 2 Timothy 1:9. Who'd read that for us, please? Okay, Jeffrey.
Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Okay. Here's a verse that talks about the calling, you know, before the foundation of the world. We don't understand it. Okay? You were called to salvation to fulfill a purpose that was planned before the world began. Stop and think about that. Isn't that something? God knew you. God knew me, and he planned this whole thing out for our lives. He had us in mind individually. The one who spoke this universe into existence knows about us. He knows the very number of the hairs on our head. And he's got to be changing his count every minute with me. So anyway, you were called to salvation to fulfill a purpose that was planned before the world began, and this is why we are secure. And a lot of this whole thing is covering eternal security. We don't mention it, but I mean, these portions of Scripture are loaded, and what we're going to see in the near future, it is loaded with stuff on eternal security. And God is going to bring it to pass, and there's not going to be any fallout. You cannot lose your salvation, folks. And the book of Romans talks so strongly to that point. And I've lost my place here. Go back to Romans. I always keep a bookmarker here so I can get there quicker. And then it fell out. Okay. All right, in middle part of verse 30, it says, "And whom he called, them he also justified." So I guess just to put it in sequence here, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. So that's the third phrase in there. He justified. Justification is when God declares one righteous. Justified means made right with God. And I always like this. It says the word justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. That's the way God looks at us when we are saved, when we're justified. So when he moved into the believer's heart and called them to himself, they were made right with God. That was God's effectual call. Salvation cleanses a sinner from his sin so God can declare him righteous. Our sin is gone. You say, how close is the calling and the justification? You know, how close do the two come together? In fact, all this verse 30. We still got to get him, them he also glorified. But anyway, well, I'm just going to make this make sense here. It says, whom he did predestinate, he also called, and whom he called, he justified. All right, it says, how close is the calling and the justification together? How much time space is there between the two? It says it would be like taking two pieces of paper and shooting a bullet through them. And then asking how much time elapsed between the bullet going through the first sheet and the second sheet. That's about how much time it took. Okay, zero. It's just a distinction in theological terms, not in time. Folks, all these things happen instantaneously. The calling is the moving in to turn your heart. The justification is what happens. The change that takes place in your life. You're saved, the change, it takes place. Justified means to be made right with God. How do we get right with God? We've got to get rid of something to get right with God. What do we have to get rid of, folks? Sin, all right? Got to get rid of sin. That was taken care of at the cross. And then it was put to our account when we believed, the moment we received Christ. How do you get rid of sin? God put it on Jesus Christ for the Christian. The verse goes on to say, it says, "And whom he justified, them he also glorified." And our time is up. I think I'm just going to stop and see if anybody, does anybody have any questions or comments about anything we've covered here in the book of Romans? Anything? Okay. Well, I still got 2 minutes. All right, let's go ahead and go. It says, "And whom he justified, them he also glorified." In this verse here, do you see anybody falling through the cracks on this thing here? Anybody lose their salvation? You know, it says he predestinated them, he called them, he justified them. Okay, and then he's also glorified. Now, the glorification thing is going to take place in the future. We're going to be glorified in heaven. We're not right now. So, whom he justified, them he also glorified. What tense is that? Your glory is so secure that God speaks of it in the same breath, in the same tense that he spoke of your salvation. It is one great moment of eternal time. We will be glorified. And in the moment that God predetermined to love you, your glorification was so secure, he could speak of it as if it had already happened. Folks, that is a marvelous thought. God says, we're going to be glorified. That's what we have to look forward to. We're going to be like him. Wow. An heir. Part of the family. We're not the janitor. We're part of the family. You are saved into glory. And all things are working toward that. That's his purpose, to make us like Christ. And folks, I want to live, as I live my life, I want to become more Christ-like. That's my goal. That's my prayer. Got a long way to go. Does this doctrine teach that God chooses people for damnation? Nowhere in the Bible is that taught, that God chooses people to damnation. He does not. And again, that's something that, you know, we may not totally understand it. Probably don't. We accept it by faith. God doesn't. A loving God. Jesus Christ paid for the sins of the whole world, the Bible says, not just the elect. Okay, our time is up. Thank you for being here. Thank you for putting up with me this morning. And so let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Lord, we can take it. We can hold it in our hand. We can study it. And Lord, we can learn from it. And Lord, I pray that we will apply these truths, to our life. Lord, we're not just hearers only. We're doers of the word. Help us, Lord, to grow spiritually. Increase our boldness, Lord. Help us to be more faithful to you. Help us to take your word more seriously. And Lord, just help us to have a closer walk with you. Father, I just pray now that you'll be with pastors. He brings a morning message. I pray, Father, you'll speak unto hearts. Lord, every person here has individual needs. And Lord, I pray that their needs will be met through your word this morning. And Lord, just again, we're just thankful for how good you are to us, how you bless us. And Lord, just that we're glad that you're in control. And Lord, your ways are best. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.